this is like the classic shiur on the famous debate about the whether we celebrate Sukkos because are we remembering the fact that Hashem gave us the Anan HaKavod, or He gave us, or the fact that we lived in Sukkos. And I want to try to be sort of Mefarshim ourselves and try to see the advantage and disadvantage in each approach. So let's first read the beginning here. The pasuk says in Vayikra Chav Gimel Pesukim Mem Beis Mem Gimel Basukos Teishu Shivas Yomim Kol Ezrach Bisol Yeshu Basukos. So everyone should live in Sukkos for 7 days. Why? Laman Yedu Dorasechem Ki Basukos Al Shafti Esbere Yisrael Baltios Lamer Tzitzam Ani Hashem Okecha. So you should know, your generation should know, because in Sukkos Hoshafti, I guess I made Bnei Yisrael live when they, or I placed them when I took them out of Egypt. So, and we have this debate in the Gemara and Sukkah. So, according to the Gemara and Sukkah, Rabbi Eliezer says they were the Sukkos referred to the clouds of glory, Nana Kavod, that protected the Bnei Yisrael. And according to Rabbi Akiva, Sukkos Mamash Asulahem, that the Bnei Yisrael themselves created the Sukkos. So are we remembering the Anan HaKavod, or are we remembering the huts that the Bnei Yisrael built in the desert? So what is, without giving, you know, your own explanation, what is the advantage and disadvantage of either approach? Any thoughts? Is like, in other words, why would you say one approach as the clouds of glory, and why might you say it's referring to the huts themselves? And by the way, before you answer, the Sifra, just so you should know, the Sifra actually has, that they actually have opposite opinions. The Rebbe Lezer in Source 3, Rebbe Lezer says, the Sifra and Emor says, Rebbe Lezer says it was Sukkos Mamish, and Rebbe Kiva says the Sukkos were Anani HaKavod. So if you ever study this topic, and you say, oh my gosh, wait a second, I thought Rebbe Kiva says that they were real Sukkos, and Rebbe Lezer says that they were Anani HaKavod, that's how the Talmud Bavli has it, but there is a version which actually flips their opinions. So without worry about who said what, you read the text. What does it seem that the Sukkos were, and why? Thoughts?
It seems like they were a physical thing. Yeah. Really more like actual huts than spiritual.
Why does it make it seem, why do you think they're actually huts?
Well, it says, oh, Shabbat Yom, that you should dwell in them. It's hard to understand that you dwell.
Right. 100%. Right. In other words, If Pasuk Mem, right, in other words, if the Sukkos in Mem Beis is the same thing as the Sukkos in Mem Gimel, that's one for Rabbi Akiva. In other words, we obviously are not obligated to sit in clouds of glory for 7 days. I do not know how to do that. I would not know how to fulfill that mitzvah. So right, if you hold that the Sukkos in Mem Gimel is Anan HaKavod, so you'd have to take the position that the Sukkos in Mem Beis is different than the Sukkos in Mem Gimel. So, okay, so that's one for Rabbi Akiva. Any other thoughts?
Well, if it's just a Sukkah, a regular Sukkah, what's the big deal? Why are we celebrating it?
You're saying in other words, it doesn't seem to be such a major miracle. In other words, what's driving you to say that maybe we sit, in other words, you could say that Mem Beis is really like, I'm sorry, Mem Gimel is saying, or even the end of Mem Beis with Basukos, and Mem Gimel is saying that's referring to real Anan HaKavod. And okay, we do the best we can to mimic that. So we do these imitation Anan HaKavod, and that's called Sukkos. But really, the Sukkos refer to the Anan HaKavod, because otherwise, like, what are we really celebrating? In other words, we're celebrating a miracle, so the fact that we built huts, what's the real miracle? Okay.
The pashtus of the pasuk is Kiva Sukkos Hoshafti is Bnei Israel.
Right.
I made the Bnei Israel sit in Sukkos.
Right.
Now, if it's Anani HaKavod, how did Hashem make us sit in Anani HaKavod?
That's interesting. So you're saying
pashtus is Hoshafti is Bnei Israel, Kiva Sukkos Hoshafti is Bnei Israel, because I had them live in Sukkos.
Oh. So I made them, I command. So what did Hashem do exactly, Howie? That's how you translate it. I had them live.
Hoshafti is
I caused them to dwell.
I caused them to dwell. How did Hashem cause them to dwell in huts? When did he tell them that? When did he tell them to dwell in huts? I never saw that in the text. I'm just saying.
A lot of things that are not necessarily okay. in the text right. that we understand
okay.
happened.
Okay. We're going to see some of Farshim actually make the opposite argument.
I'm not understanding right. What do you mean? Where does it say in the text? Doesn't it say right there?
That's Hashem's commanding. In other words, let's say like this. Let's say the Torah will say Hashem took Bnei Israel out of Egypt. And then the Torah will say, okay, you have to celebrate this holiday because Hashem took us out of Egypt. Where did he take us to Egypt? We know earlier. What I'm saying is we don't find a situation where Hashem command the Bnei Israel in the desert, nothing to do with the holiday, or Hashem placed us. In other words, why are we sitting in Sukkos? Because Hashem told us to live in huts? We have to live in huts in the future because Hashem told us to live in huts now. Why does Hashem tell us to live in huts now? I'm saying we don't find that. Usually there's a historical event, a big miracle. Hashem took us out of Egypt. So therefore, because he took us out of Egypt, so now for generations, we should do this mitzvah commemorating that event. You're saying...
I'm wondering if it's a combination between the two that we're sitting in huts and God protected us with the Anani HaKavod. He protected us, and that's how we were able to manage to get through the 40 years in the desert.
I'm trying to understand what this word basukos in Pasim Gimel. You're saying that Kivzikos Shati means both things. That's hard to say. Yeah, Evan.
The sukkah is a physical manifestation of God's glory. Let's say and they cover it would be a spiritual manifestation of
okay.
God's glory.
Okay. Therefore,
maybe Rabbi Akiva would say it's more spiritual. Rabbi Elizabeth would say it's more of a physical.
Or it depends who. The Gemara and Sukkah be the reverse, right? In other words, right. In other words, you're saying right. What do we celebrate? What we did. So we're going to see a pshat like that. I mean, Evan asked me the following question.
Isn't there also a parish that says Basu Kosi is reporting geographically where they were?
Well, they left Egypt. They did leave Egypt, and they were in Sukkos. But here, it's very hard to argue. But Sukkos teishu shiyot, you should live in Sukkos for 7 days. That's what they're saying. Kiba Sukkos shati is referring to a place. Someone told me, Rabbi Foreman had a shot like that. Maybe that's interesting. Okay, it's not. It's not. Okay. Right, they did go to a place called Sukkos, right? We can think about that. That's an interesting shot.
Yaakov also built.
Okay, we're gonna get to there. The other thing I want to get to, Rabbi, wait. Yeah.
Why does it say if the Torah was talking about Sukkos mamash, it should say this Sukkos teishu shivasemim. What is bas Sukkos? It seems more emphatic, bas Sukkos.
And
they keep saying that
in these Sukkos. That's basukos. Everything's basukos.
You can make an argument that the sukkah in Pasuk Mem Bet is not the same as the sukkah in Mem Gimel.
I understand.
Mem Bet, it's chaser. There's no vav in Mem Gimel.
Okay.
You have vav.
Okay. Maybe. Okay. Let's start with some mafarshim. I just want to make one other point, which is what's interesting is that what's the difference between an ohel and a sukkah. In other words, if indeed we want to say that sukkah really refers to the tents that the Bnei Israel lived in Egypt, so why is it called a sukkah as opposed to an ohel? That was Evan's question to me, which may say that sukkahs might be something different than an ohel. So with that in mind,
the ohel is more protective than
a sukkah. Okay, so we'll get to that at the end of this year. Okay, so let's read what some of Farshim say. Okay. So with all this is why. So we have Unkelos. He says it's b'matlas ananei. So Unkelos paskins like, let's say Rabbi Eliezer according to Gemara, it was anani akavod. Rashi as well says the anani akavod, the cloud of glory, and the Kli Yakar now tries to give an explanation. He says v'zeu shenemar ki basukos hoshavti es bnei Yisrael ki ein lamar she medaber b'stam sukos shehochei drachim. So he says. He makes the opposite argument than how he made. But okay, that's fine. You could disagree with him. That's fine. He said the following. He says that you can say that we're speaking about regular huts of people traveling, because if so, it should say Kiba Sukos Yeshu Bnei Israel, or Yashu Bnei Israel, the Bnei Israel. If we're commemorating the fact that the Bnei Israel lived in huts, so then it should have said that Bnei Israel lived in huts. Yeshu. What's Mao Hoshavti? Mashmesha Kadosh Baruch Hu Ba'atzmo Uvichvodo Hoshivam Basukos. He placed them in quote unquote Sukkos. Ve'enze. Where do we find that Hashem sort of surrounded them in Sukkos? Now, it's not that Hashem commanded them. In other words, it's not that Basukos, because Hashem commanded the Bnei Israel left Egypt to be in Sukkos. No, Hashem placed them in Sukkos. So that means he created some kind of Sukkah around them. So what must that be? This must be the seven clouds. So the Kli Yakar wants to say the Lashon of Hoshavti essentially means infers the Anane Hakavod, and the Ramban has a different take on this. The Ramban agrees with Rashi, and obviously the other question is why doesn't, if indeed Sukkos means Anane HaKavod, then what should have the Torah have said? Anane HaKavod, right? In other words, that's like the number one question, right? In other words, Sukkos, we think, means huts. If you want to say it's the Anane HaKavod, so why don't the Torah say Anane HaKavod? So the Rabban says that he cites Rashi, and he says, V'odachon ben al derech pshat. And this is correct in my eyes by way of the pshat. Kitziva sheyedu adoros kol maase Hashem agadol shirasei b'hem lahafli sheshachar osam ve'ananei kavod kesukah. He wants the future generation to know the great deeds of God that He did with them, to that they did wonders for them when they dwelled in ananei kavod like a sukkah. Uvnei shekvar peirash, and because He already explained shanan Hashem aleihem yomam v'amudei shlaila, the Torah already mentioned that anan Hashem, that the cloud of glory was on them during the day and the pillar of fire was at night. Amar stam kiba sukos l'shafti. She'asisi lehem anane kavodi sukos l'hogit aleihem. So he wants to say, the Ramban wants to say that it was already described before. So sukkah is sort of like a shortened form. A sukkah means, I guess, what Baruch wanted to say. Sukkah means a protection. The Torah already mentioned before that he saw to it that there should be a cloud of glory at a fiery pillar around surrounding them. So therefore, now it's just a shortened form and called it a sukkah. That's the way the Ramban understands. So like one school of thought is that it's this anana kavod. Again, the hoshavti is supposed to yeshvu. The idea, it was already said before. And I think the idea is like, I think what some of us were saying in our suggestion, like we're celebrating a miracle that Hashem performed for us, that probably makes sense more, the Anan HaKavod, in that regard. The other school of thought that follows Rabbi Akiva in the Gemara in Sukkah, which is Sukkos Mamish, so that's the Rashbam. Rashbam says in Source 8, Pshuto Kedivrei HaOmrim. So the simple reading is like those who say b'masecha sukkah, sukkah babish, v'zeh tabo shel dvar chaga sukkos tase lecha, bascha b'igar necha mikvecha, bascha tfuah sa'aretz v'atecha meleim kol tuv dagam tirosh v'yitzar. And this is the reason of the matter of the chaga sukkos you should make for yourself when you gather your grain and from your, when you and your wine and your presses, and you gather all the produce and your house is full with all sorts of goods of wheat and wine and oil. Laman tisku. So you should remember kiba sukkos shavti es bnei Yisrael b'midbar arba'im shana. That you should remember that Hashem, placed us in sukkos, led us in sukkos for 40 years in the desert. Lo yishuv lo nechala, without any living place, not an inheritance. And mitoch kach, and because of this, titnu hodah, you'll give thanksgiving. Lemi shenasan lachem nachlo batim mleim kol tuv. That we get to Eretz Yisrael and we have land, we have a backyard, we have houses, and we have all this good stuff, and we think we all did it ourselves, and we shouldn't say kochi v'etzem yad yosa lizachayalzeh. We shouldn't say it's all me. So Hashem, so this was a celebration that for 40 years, while we were in the desert, in our sukkah, Hashem Hashem had us live. I guess Hashem had us live in huts, and He protected us in these huts. So we realize that really our lives depend on Hashem, and so hopefully we'll remember that even when we are not when we're in Eretz Yisrael and we live b'derech hateva. So that's the Rashbam. They have to realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hand is Yad Hashem is even in Eretz Yisrael. Ibn Ezra says something similar. Ki basukos shayu osi ba'achar shavu yamsuf sukos, that after they crossed the yamsuf, they made sukos. Va'av ki b'min barsina sha'amru amdu sham karo mishana, even though they lived, they were by Sinai for close to a year. V'chein mina kol machnos, and same thing for many camps. V'nei gamze amoid zech l'siyas Mitzrayim. And this holiday is also to remember Yitzias Mitzrayim. V'im Yishal, okay, then we'll get to the reason. We're going to get to the Ibn Ezra. The point of Ibn Ezra is also false. It also refers to Sukkos Mamish. His point is that it was still protecting, it was referring to the Sukkos. After they left Egypt, so they built the sukkos. He has to explain then why by Tishrei you have this mitzvah, because why? According to Ibn Ezra, actually, they only started, look at the last two lines, that the purpose of the from the days of Tishrei, they started to make sukkos because of the cold. So according to Ibn Ezra, right, that's a famous question. If they left Egypt in Nisan, why are we celebrating Sukkot in the fall time? So there are different answers to this question. Ibn Ezra takes the view, and this works out very well, if you hold that they actually built huts. So they only started building huts when it got chilly, and that would be starting from Tishrei. I don't know how chilly it gets in the desert, but okay. But that's what Ibn Ezra is explaining.
And right, God loves the number 7.
Well, I'm sorry? Okay, right. So we can. No, there are other explanations. Listen. Okay, that's true. I'm saying there is. Right. The Ramban, we're going to get to the Ramban. He has his take on that. The Vilna Gaon says the 15th is of Tishrei is when we started building the Mishkan, which is compared to a Sukkah. We have the Chag HaAsif, the agricultural reasons to make it in this time as well. So there are other reasons as well. Just one other thing, Rav Shimshon Rafal Hirsch, so he writes that, he says, V'sukkah tzapel chol doros Yisrael ha-midbar shumole ha-shkach l'shem. The purpose of the sukkah tells you for all generations about the desert that it's full of God's divine presence. Ki ha-shkach l'shem hafchas ha-midbar l'makom shiroi l'shivas ha-adam. Because the divine presence of Hashem transformed the desert to a place that's suitable for mankind to live. A person can be happy in the desert when he lives there in the shadow, in God's shadow. Osan hasukos shesukos seinu, right? Hasukos. That maybe that's Judah's question. Basukos, the sukos. That's it. That the sukos hint that whether they're anana kavod or sukkamamish, and like he said, the chacham disagree. And the first says benkak, whether you hold they were real sukos or they were simply clouds of glory. It helps us remember our sojourn in the desert. On the whatever truth we're learning from it. Doesn't make a difference whether they built huts or whether there was a cloud of glory. The whole thanks to Hashem was on the fact that we lived, that we were in existence, right? So normally speaking, how do we exist? Naturally through our own abilities. But Shasham Nichlas Midbar, once we go into the desert, once you go into the desert, that's it. Naturally you can't live. Ain lo kiyum ela bezos Hashem. You can only live through the bezos Hashem. So he says this idea is that Hashem protected us in the desert, the Schach, Hashem's covering us, Hashem's protecting us. So again, whether you hold Sukkos Mamish or not, so this is all about Hashem protecting us in the desert. Why celebrate? So we have these two different approaches. Why celebrate Sukkos on Tishrei? So again, if it's the clouds of glory, then you need to say there's another reason why we're celebrating it in Tishrei, either because it's Chag HaAsif, it's because they built the Mishkan. The Torah gives us famous answers because if we build huts in the summertime, it's not obvious we're doing it for the purpose of the mitzvah. The Ramban has a piece on this, not exactly what Baruch said about the Shem of Seven, but he just says, for some reason, he says that the desert miracles are in the rainy season. That's what he wants to say. His lashon here is that they started that normally said he says that where is it here? So we remember this miracle in the beginning of the rainy season. For some reason, he thinks that the springtime is the holiday to remember Pesach, and the rainy season is when we're supposed to remember Sukkos. Maybe because it's a time of Hashgacha, we want Hashem to watch over us, and we want it to rain. So there could be reasons why we have it in the, you know, in Tishrei. My only point is that we have to be creative if we say the reason for that the Sukkos we're referring to is the Anana Kavod. If it's real Sukkos, then we could simply say that they actually start building the real Sukkos in the month of Tishrei. If you hold it's Anana Kavod, that started from when they left Egypt. And then you could say, well, this is a rainy season holiday. This is an agricultural holiday. This is to, so that will demonstrate that this mitzvah, that we're going to the sukkah, l'shem mitzvah, and so it's recognizable it's l'shem mitzvah, not simply going out to a hut, like going out to a summer home. The Rav Yoel Schwartz in the Sefer Chag HaSukkos, I just want to, I'll just tell you what he says outside. He basically says, the machlokes between Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Akiva is what's the primary message of the Torah. According to Rabbi Lezer, the message of Sukkah is to focus on, you know, God's, I think someone mentioned this, I think, God's initiative. You know, what was Yetzias Mitzrayim? Everything God did. God did this. God did unbelievable miracles when he took us out of Egypt. So is Sukkah really that as well, where the focus is all about God? So that's the Anana Kavod. Is that the emphasis? Or is the message Rabbi Akiva, you know, about human initiative? It's always an interesting question, you know, do the holidays, how do we look at life, right? Do we look at life as, you know, God doing everything, or are we partnering with God, right? It's a question about the final geula, right? Do we believe the third base of Migdash is going to fall from the sky, we should just perform mitzvot, or should we try to settle Medina Yisrael and try to bring it about ourselves physically, right? So these are questions. How much initiative should we take? So it makes sense. Rabbi Akiva is of the one, you know, he's the one who supported Bar Kokhba in the Bar Kokhba revolt. He's very much into man partnering with God to bring about the Geula. And so perhaps this is his philosophy about that Sukkos, again, it's not necessarily Mukhrak, definitive, but Rabbi Akiva believes that the holiday of Sukkos is about emphasizing our initiative. We're doing what we can. We're building a sukkah. We're following Hashem in the desert, and we're building our sukkahs. And it's not only about the miracles Hashem performed us in the desert, but it's also celebrating our emunah as well. And hopefully, just like we had emunah with Hashem in the desert, so we're also going to continue that emunah in our daily lives. Whereas Rabbi Eliezer, who says it's referring to Anana Kavod, so that's referring to, it's all about God. It's all about thanking God for the wonderful miracle. So I want to finish with the question that Evan asked me. I did a little, you know, just a little Tanakh research, not a lot. So just to further develop this point of Rabbi Akiva's position, what's it between an ohel and a sukkah? So Avraham Avinu lived in an ohel, right? Avraham Avinu lived in a tent. So what's it between a tent and a sukkah? Why were we not commanded to live in an ohel for 7 days? Did the Bnei Yisrael live in tents? I'm curious, actually. Did the Bnei Yisrael live in tents? I mean, Bilam says, Matovu Ohalecha Yaakov. So he says that they did live in tents. I think there are stories where people were in their tents also. You know, we have Moshe's tent. We have referred to tents. And yet, here, we're talking about sukkahs. So I looked in Tanakh. I don't know if this is an exhaustive list of where the Torah refers to sukkahs. To sukkah, not as a place, but as a hut. What's fascinating is people don't live and sleep in sukkahs. Okay, Yeshayahu Perakal Pasukhes refers to a sukkah bekerem, and Mesudas David says this talks about the remainders of people of Tzion, of Yerushalayim. They're going to be like a sukkah in a kerem. What's a sukkah? Mesudas David says it's a little hut where the guard sits. Okay, so he's not sleeping there. He's just staying there, you know, watching the vineyard. Probably it's protecting him from the heat. And in fact, Yishayo Perigdal Pasukvav, he says, the sukkah tiyel itzel yomam. So the sukkah serves as to provide shade against the heat. Yonah, we just did Yom Kippur. Yonah, again, he makes for himself a sukkah, not to sleep there. The Yeshev Tachtel Batzel. It's hard to know. Did he sleep there? I don't know. He said the goal was to sit under the sukkah in the shade to see what will happen in the city. And of course, what's very fascinating is that it does house something. We do find one time where the sukkah houses something, but not humans. That when Yaakov travels to Sukkos, he builds for himself a house. And for his cattle, what does he do? Asa Sukkos. So it seems to me that a sukkah is not a place for people to sleep. So it seems to me that based on that, my initial thoughts, and maybe I can develop this further at some point, but my initial thoughts from reading these description of sukkah in the desert is that, yes, the Bnei Yisrael built real tents in the desert. Bilam said, Matovo Olecha Yaakov. But in reality, why were these sukkos? They were sukkos because, as we've seen by Rav Shimshon of Falhirsch and then perhaps also the Rashbam, is that no human being can really live in the desert. So yes, they built ohalim, tents, but they were in effect living in sukkos because where they were living was not suitable for humans to live there on a permanent basis because they were living in the desert. And therefore, so we did our part by trusting Hashem and following him in the desert. And we built the huts. We made our hishtadlus. But in reality, it was all a miracle. By building and living in a sukkah, we acknowledge that we do not live in permanent structures, really. We are really dependent on Hashem to provide us with adequate protection throughout our lives. The sukkah, as opposed to the ohel, highlights the temporary nature of our existence, while acknowledging that despite that temporary nature, we are comforted by the fact that what does a sukkah do? It provides protection. It's not suitable for real sleeping, not suitable for real living. So we recognize that we are completely dependent on Hashem, but the sukkah does provide quote unquote protection. That is that we believe that despite we find ourselves in temporary quarters, we are protected by Hashem. And that's why I think we're specifically commanded to live in a sukkah as opposed to in ohel. Anyway.